This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigs
time. His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on top of it. You got all the stories. So I read your notebook yesterday when it came out and really enjoyed it. And it's kind of a fun time of year because now we'll have the rookie mini camp. We'll get to see what these guys look like, how fast they are, how overrated they are as football players. Apparently the Bears have the worst draft pick, or one of the worst draft picks, according to a guy from ESPN, with the linebacker they took. It's just going to be fun to see everybody get in and learn the lay of the land and get just a chance to watch some of these guys run.
Yeah, I mean, you see them out there in helmets and pads, or not pads, but helmets. You see them moving around a little bit. I'm sure they will arrive at some point today for a little bit of an orientation. And then you get going and they get an idea for how things are going to operate in a full team setting, right? They sort of get introduced to how they get ready for practice, what they're going to be asked to do in practice and individual drills and things of that nature. So when they're with the larger group, they can get up to speed rather quickly.
Brad, I was a little surprised that you are as high on Kyle Manungai as you seem to be. I also wonder...
I think he's got a chance.
Okay, you say he's got a chance, and I think that's fair. And I think it's exciting because he does look great on tape. I also know they have Roschon Johnson back, and I wonder how their faith in both of those guys may affect their thinking on whether or not they need to add a veteran to the running back room, because I feel like this roster is a little incomplete without adding a veteran to the running back room. Do you agree or disagree?
I think they're going to need to add a running back at some point, quite possibly before training camp. But I don't think there's any need at all to sort of rush into it, because you've got a situation where there's a handful of options down at the running back store right now that you could choose through. And you know what? There's going to be more product on the shelves as we go. There were 25 running backs drafted this year. And that means that some of those guys are going to take jobs from players currently in the league, veterans. That means that you're going to have more running backs become available. That means that even in late August, when teams are working their way down to the 53-man roster, you're probably going to have some running backs with experience come loose. So I don't see any need to rush into it. I think the first order of business for Ben Johnson, for Declan Doyle, for everyone involved with the running back room, Eric Bieniemy, for Ryan Poles, is get a handle on the players that you currently have in the building. Get a feel for Roschon Johnson. Like, he's a new player for these coaches. Get a feel for Kyle Manungai, and have an understanding of exactly what you have before you consider what outside option might be good in the mix, might be good for competition.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting to just see what they have to accomplish before they get their team together. And obviously part of it is just making sure that the offense is put in, that everybody is comfortable with it, that you're working with the quarterback. We talked a little bit earlier in the week about Tyson Bagent and the fact that that he's going into a potential, after this year, he'll be an unrestricted free agent. And the coach doesn't know him yet. They've got to get to know each other. You'd love the idea of someday being able to, you know, keep drafting and creating and improving quarterbacks, but they got to get up and running with Caleb Williams before anything else.
Yeah, they've got to learn about all their players. And actually, Bajan will be restricted.
Restricted, I mean, yeah.
This will be year three for him. So they've got to get a handle on all their players, and that's from the top of the depth chart.
Okay.
I'm going to try to clean up the line.
Yeah, we got to clean up the line.
Yeah, Tyson Bagent entering restricted free agency, earning $1 million this year, his third season. Being the backup, he is the backup. I don't think Case Keenum is there for any other reason but to provide insurance. But the question remains what the coaching staff, namely Ben Johnson, the new collection of quarterbacks coaches they have as well to evaluate him, what do they believe about Tyson Bagent? And Brad, that's the essential question. We just don't know yet.
No, we don't know. We're not going to know for a while. Like, they're going to go through the rest of the offseason program. They're going to get into OTAs here later on this month. At the end of the month, they'll have a mandatory mini camp in June. And then the evaluation process rolls into training camp. So, there's a lot to be determined in the roster. I promise you this, when the roster is set to begin the 2026 season, okay, it's going to look significant. You know, so you're talking, what, 16 months from now, something like that. It's going to look a heck of a lot different than it does right now. But it's a process. And as I said, it starts with guys that you consider to be at the top of the depth chart and are at the top of the depth chart, and it works all the way down. There's going to be players that, we're not talking a whole lot about that will factor in. There's been a lot of discussion about the safety position, and I think it's warranted. But a guy that's played an awful lot for three seasons, when he's been pressed into action, is Elijah Hicks, and he's still in the mix. So that tells you that the front office has probably got a greater deal of faith in him than maybe the public does. But he's a guy that the coaches need to see for themselves on the grass. They've spent time going over the film. Now they need to see how he looks in action.
I found it fascinating that there were two questions about the tackle position in your notes. You had one guy just wanting to know the difference between right and left tackle, which kind of amused me. And then there was a question about Ozzie Trapillo and how he's going to fit in and who's going to be the starting left tackle, right tackle. Are you surprised that people are now kind of hyper aware of it, or is it just because we've been talking about the fact that they're relying on a player and Braxton Jones coming off an injury?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, that's been a position that we've looked at since the outset of the offseason. Like, could they get a plug-and-play starter
right
in the draft or via some other means, and you would expect Trapillo to be at left tackle this weekend and kind of get a feel for that and see how he looks, and then potentially it sets up for a competitive situation between him and Braxton Jones later on this summer. He made 12 starts at left tackle at Boston College early in his career before he was moved to right tackle, where he started 24 or 25 games. And, sometimes it's not always the case, but sometimes colleges are giving you a pretty good tell when they play a guy at right tackle and not left tackle, that this guy, if he is going to continue his career professionally, and obviously Trapillo is, is probably a right tackle. That's not always the case, and every guy is moved to one side or the other by the college staff for varying reasons. So we'll have to see. They've got to put them there and see how it looks.
We talk so much about the Bears defense in terms of their nickel package because they're in that a majority of the time. And yet their base defense still does include three linebackers. That third linebacker spot, Brad, I think is something that remains kind of in a state of flux. They drafted Ruben Hippolyte. The draft pick that Mully was referring to was deemed by one ESPN analyst as the worst draft pick.
Eric Moody. Yeah, don't know Eric.
Hippolyte is 5'11", 236, not your prototypical inside or outside inside your NFL linebacker. What are the Bears' plans at that third strong side linebacker position?
Yeah, that's a great question, and that's maybe one of the bigger questions that they've got right now. My first reaction is, how much is that? How often are they going to be in their base defense? How many snaps are we talking about? If you're looking at last year with Jack Sanborn, you're maybe scratching the surface at like 25% of the time. So you're talking about a part-time player, okay? And it's possible that guy's not on the roster right now. And that's another spot where if you want to find a strong side linebacker, you can go out and get one of those guys. He's probably not going to be a difference maker, but you can find one of those. They've got a couple candidates on the roster. Hippolyte obviously deserves a look. They drafted him. They felt highly about him. Certainly, he can run. He can really scoot. Amen. Ogbonbamiga. It would be an option. Carl Jones, an undrafted free agent out of UCLA a year ago, and they've still got Noah Sewell kicking around, who has really struggled to stay healthy. Not only in season, but he's had stuff that's cost him, I think, developmental time during training camp and the offseason a little bit. But he's still in the picture as well.
I was kind of amused. We had a texter when we were talking about Hippolyte and that story who texted him, why don't they just move him to safety?
He could be
anti-linebacker.
That's like it wouldn't be a Bears draft without people coming up with fancy ways to it worked out with Brian Urlacher. There were people that wanted Chris Zorich to play linebacker at one point, right?
Right.
So I don't see him moving to safety. But who knows? He's yet to get on the grass. That'll happen tomorrow in Lake Forest.
Brett, I don't think it's a high priority necessarily, but it has been addressed indirectly. Do you expect before the start of training camp, before the start of OTAs, that Joe Tooney will sign a contract extension?
I would think that's the goal for all the parties involved. Ryan Poles has said that's something that the organization would like to accomplish. But two sides have got to be happy with what's in front of them. He signed for this season at $16 million. He's 32 years old, and he's still playing at a high level. So the team's got to find out, you know, what where its parameters are. And Joe's got to see if the team's vision kind of matches what he's seeking nearing the end of a decorated career. So I think that's not something I would be concerned about right now, something you kind of put in the back of your mind and try to keep an eye on. Ultimately, I think both parties would feel best if something were to be finalized before training camp, but I don't see any. I don't see any kind of soft deadline even for this negotiation.
You know, Jalen Johnson was on a podcast over the weekend, and or maybe we heard it on yesterday, but he said he's going to get 7 interceptions. That's his goal: 7 interceptions, 3 takeaways, fumbles, and he's, you know, planning on scoring a few touchdowns. Those numbers would put him obviously into a different category. Is it okay to have expectations like that or goals like that as long as you don't press to get that? Don't take chances. Play within the scheme. Did you have any reaction to it? And especially with Keyshawn Johnson saying, "Well, you can't catch." And the fact that the kid has what is the number? He's got 7 career interceptions.
7 career interceptions in 70 games. But he's going to get 7 next year alone.
Yeah, that if he has 7 picks this season, you would think he's a strong candidate to be all pro. There are 2 players that had 7 or more picks last year: Kirby Joseph, the Lions safety, and Xavier McKinney, the Packers safety. So there's not a cornerback in the National Football League that reached 7 this past season. Yeah, you don't want to see a guy being a riverboat gambler out there in a bid to produce takeaway numbers like that. But at the same time, I love it when a guy puts his puts his goals out there. You know, a lot of times the guys will say, "Yeah, I got a goal," and well, hey, what are you thinking? Well, I'll keep that to myself.
Is a
typical response. It's not quite like Alonzo Spellman, who long ago,
I remember,
said his goal for sacks was high double digits.
High double digits.
Like 80 to 85. I think he meant high teens. Shoot for the moon, right?
Oh, that was awesome.
Brad, I know it's not a major thing, but who's throwing passes to Luther Burden III this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know. They're going to have some guy, and we'll see who it is and how they throw. A lot of times you see these noodle arm guys in rookie mini camp because they, I don't think there's a job available here. There's always competition, but the Bears probably weren't getting first pick of arms that were available, and you know, it can't be windy up there on those practice fields behind Hollis Hall. So you've seen, it's not every year, and sometimes, you know, heck, in recent years the Bears have had a lot of first round draft picks at the position, guys that can spin the football, but in years that they haven't had that guy and you've been out on that field and it's been windy, you look at it and you're like, boy, you know, I know I'm at a professional football rookie mini camp, but it sort of looks like a high school pass floating out there. So we will see who's throwing the ball to Luther Burden and Colston Loveland this weekend.
Good stuff, Brad.
Yeah. Hey, Bigsy, the schedule release is Wednesday, so we're going to be making picks and talking.
Get ready for that.
Yeah.
And good luck with
that's going to be interesting. Have you guys solved this Ryan Presley issue yet?
No, still it's ongoing.
We're working on
it. It's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Have you solved the Caps being down 1-0 in that series yet?
No, but I think they'll bounce back at home.
Yeah, tonight. Sure, they will.
Presley can't.
That's happening all the time in the NHL playoffs.
Presley, what did you say, Presley?
He's not missing any bats, guys. Like, it's.
Yeah, that's what Craig Council said.
He's not scoring any goals, Brad.
He is draining his knee, though, buddy. Take that into account.
Presley?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So they got a guy with a bum knee. All right. Yeah.
All right. Great talking to you, Brad.
You're the best, buddy.
Good luck solving that one.
See you later.
That's our guy. That's our guy, Brad Biggs.
He's got thoughts on pitching. Oh, by the way, speaking of thoughts
former
on
pitcher.
Everything,
yeah.
You want to join us next Friday, May 16th, you can, if you're the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670, live studio audience at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. Get you set for the Crosstown Series, Cubs and White Sox. Special guests in person, plenty of Cubs Sox chatter. Also, popcorn provided by Nuts on Clark.
And Mr. David.
Yeah, okay. I will also pop some popcorn passionately.
It started out as a passionate
It was.
Popcorn.
That's how it all started.
Yeah. So
Mitch got a little carried away, zipped in here, got behind a microphone, and announced an event. So
congratulations.
Thank you, Mitch. Be a lot of fun.
No, we're going to have a great time.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. And Dustin, did you see that Patrick in Gage Park hasn't gotten his invite yet? So get on.
Oh, no, I invited. He signed a waiver. Okay. I asked him. I said, "Did you get your access yet?" So
okay.
he's more than welcome.
Take care of.
I wonder if Ron's still listening. I wonder if Ron wants to come in.
Ron's more than
Cubs,
welcome.
White Sox, yep. Chatter.
Ron's always listening.
Yeah,
call me back, Ron, and we'll get
Sox fan
it.
Who's quoting the Cubs game on the score.
Yeah, love it.
That you got to love it. That's a baseball
That's
fan.
A baseball lover, no question about
no
it.
No doubt
right.
about it.
We'll be right back. 312-644-6767, Million Hawn Score.
No timeout. Holiday's got it. 12 seconds to go. Back to Tatum. Cross half court. Tatum behind the Horford screen. Tatum, 5 seconds. Tatum at the free throw line. Tatum falling away in a baseline. His pass blocked by Bridges, and the Knicks have done it again. The Celtics do not get a shot away. And the New York Knicks, written off as a championship contender midway through this season, have just recorded three extraordinary victories on the road to put themselves up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Back-to-back 20-point comeback wins. And the most stunning postseason round in NBA history continues.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston telling you of their horrors.
It's so right, though.
Yeah.
It's such a great call because this round, this second round of the NBA playoffs, fantastic. The surprises, the drama, the urgency with which the Knicks and the Pacers are playing. Now, look, I understand the Cavs are compromised. Garland out, and they're banged up now even more. So you have maybe a little bit of an asterisk there, and the Pacers are well coached. Rick Carlisle, outstanding. But what's going on with the Knicks and Celtics, to me, is an example of a couple things. Tom Thibodeau getting his team to peak at the right time for all the people say about him overusing his best players.
Yeah.
And the Celtics playing like they're in the middle of February on a Wednesday night that just can't get hot. It's like, oh, okay, we'll get them next time. There's no urgency to defend their title.
They're the first NBA team to attempt 40-plus threes in two playoff games and shoot 25%
in both games. Hey, guys, get the memo. It's not working.
You know, the first game, I really did think that they had the 20-point lead.
Yeah.
And then they just started taking terrible threes. Like, what are you doing? They couldn't wait to jack up a three. No, I got it. No, let me. That was what they did. This time, they built up the 20-point lead. And then they came out, and then they just couldn't run their offense. They settled for some threes, but they had been attacking the rim and dunking the basketball. And then all of a sudden, the Knicks are on the other end, and they're playing like they're in the 1992 season. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well,
they're just taking two-point shots and hitting them.
When you blow two straight 20-point leads on your home floor – in the playoffs, you have a complacency problem.
Oh, my God.
You have an issue that you're not taking your opponent seriously, or you think that you are going to just be able to handle things after you take a lead and the other team's going to be so awed by your presence that they're not going to try to claw back. But the Knicks never stop. The Knicks never stop. Mm. And Jalen Brunson is a big reason why. Tom Thibodeau, sure, big reason why. But that's a pretty good team. Here we are, Molly. We're closer to having a Knicks-Pacers Eastern Conference final than anything.
That's not a good idea.
You don't think so?
No, I don't know that. I mean, I suppose the New York audience would produce.
The Knicks are a great story, ratings. Molly. It's not a good story. They're a great story.
Yeah.
If they get to the NBA Finals.
If they get there, I still think the Celtics are the better team. I don't know if they have just. I don't know if they will awaken. You know what I
don't
I mean?
I don't know either.
Because I don't know what the hell's going on.
And I know he's got
it.
An NBA ring to show all of the doubters and the haters. But if the Knicks beat the Celtics in this series, it's a coaching issue.
Oh, it's a major
coaching mismatch.
I agree with you. It's crazy.
So good for Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks. It's an easy team to pull for because of Jalen Brunson.
And then the late game last night, if you didn't get to stay up for it, no one's going to blame you. That was OKC. We had talked about it as Denver won game one on the road. And we said, you know, hey, what is going on with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander? This is supposed to be the MVP of the league, and he just disappeared in game one. He didn't do anything, and Joker should be the MVP. Well, I got to tell you, it was the opposite of that last night. He went nuts.
He went nuts.
He
heard every word.
It's like he was listening.
Responded to every doubter.
Yes.
And he did a great job showing everyone who was watching why he still is the MVP this year.
And the Joker was out of that game. It was almost like the refs decided.
I haven't seen a guy foul out in the third quarter, I think, since watching JV basketball game. It's crazy. The best player, the best big man in the sport, fouled out in the third quarter.
That was crazy.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I do not know.
And they had no shot.
None.
They had no shot.
No.
They led at one point. OKC led by 48 points.
Denver got the win, though. They got the one win they needed
they stole
out of
one,
those
yeah,
two games.
But you wonder,
I'm just saying.
But what kind of does that?
They don't look like they're coming back from that, though. They
does got, that loss and that victory, yeah, does like, that leave a mark?
It does. It felt like it. It felt like it left a mark because it felt like OKC felt so much better. It was almost such a relief to them that their confidence will be surging when they head into Denver.
I kind of like the underdog nature of this year's NBA playoffs.
Saturday's Knicks-Boston game, that is a must-watch for me. I cannot wait for that game because that is, without question, a must-win game on the road.
Why did you screw up your face when I said Knicks and Pacers are looking like the Eastern Conference Final? Why does that not appeal to you?
Are you joking? Does that appeal to anyone?
Knicks and Pacers?
Do you want to see the Knicks and Pacers, Brandon? You're an NBA fan.
I wouldn't want to see the Pacers. Sorry, David.
Yeah.
I would prefer to see the two best teams going against. I want to see the Cavs healthy going against the Celtics. But, I mean, the Pacers and the Knicks are just playing like super hard right now, where you got to love it. Just the effort
hard,
alone.
No
do you
question.
Do you not have any nostalgic bone in your body?
Yeah, but this is not Reggie Miller Pacers. This
could,
is not Patrick Ewing.
It brings
Knicks.
That to mind. Knicks and Hicks. That's what the series was. That's
it
what the t-shirt said.
It reminds me of the fact that Tyrese Halliburton was drafted after Patrick Williams. That's what I always think of.
Wow. That's why I don't like the Pacers to go far, because that's one of the main reasons.
That is a
bless
horrible
you,
reason. Yeah.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Yeah. That is a horrible reason.
Well,
that's a horrible reason.
That's not a good enough reason.
I liked it when he was overrated. I preferred him overrated.
Now, if they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, would Halliburton's dad be allowed back in?
No, I know.
It was a mutual decision.
No,
yeah,
no.
It was a mutual,
no, he's done.
It was a mutual decision.
Like planned day off for Mydrov. You know,
there you go.
Thing,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Don't you think he's probably banned until
the
end of the playoffs?
Should be.
You can't let him back in.
No, you can't let the guy back in.
Unless you put him up in a suite.
He has to decide not to come back in. Yeah, you could put him in a suite.
Put him in a suite. No courts.
Yeah.
No courtside access.
Yeah,
this is going to sound crazy. If the Celtics were in the Cavs spot playing the Pacers, yes. I would think they would be able to come back. I don't think the Cavs are going to be able to come back. They don't have the pedigree to lean on.
No, they don't. And they have injuries.
To reference.
Donovan Mitchell looks hurt. Were you watching him during the game? He's limping.
Yes.
But he's still scoring.
He is still scoring.
The only one. Oh, and Strus. Your guy Strus was balling.
Where's that Strus?
He's on the loose. Strus juice on the loose.
But I do think that they need Porzingis. The Celtics need Porzingis to be a dominant force. They need him to get healthy, whatever that consists of, and get back to being like a dominant player. They look like they're playing individual basketball. They're taking turns going one-on-one. They're throwing the ball around the outside of their offense with nary a care for someone stepping out and putting a hand on. I mean, it is like there are six different times where they should have turned it over. It's such a lazy arse way of playing basketball. It is very infuriating. And I think you're right when you say there's a coaching issue, because there's apparently nobody noticing what's going on.
It's like they're tuning out the coach.
Shouldn't
they're playing very carelessly.
Shouldn't their chief executive, who was once a coach, come down on the floor and start running a practice? How it looks.
If you want to see what a basketball team should be coached like, yeah, bring Brad Stevens back.
That's what I'm telling you.
It looks like a championship hangover all over again.
Totally. It looks like they're just...
It does. That's a good way to put it.
That's a great way of looking at it.
So you've got the Eastern Conference drama. You've got the Western Conference. When will Steph come back? And why is he able to...
Well, he's out for a week.
At least.
Yes. But I mean, he's out for a week. We know that. With a hamstring injury, he's got the dreaded left hamstring Shota. Never had a hamstring before. Have you seen
just like Shota?
They said they looked at him in that game 7, and they compute how much you're running and what you're doing. He ran 2 miles in that game, and then he comes back and immediately pulls his left hamstring. Maybe somehow figure out a way to win without the guy having to run 2 miles.
He always does that, though.
Oh, I know.
He's better without the basketball than any player in the sport.
But it was he ran farther in that game than he had ever run before in any NBA game.
I suddenly would like to see the Warriors win that series, and I would like to see, if I'm rooting now for a matchup in the finals, I do think that Knicks-Warriors would be fascinating. Oh. I don't think it's going to happen, but I hope that it does. What are you throwing your hands up for?
Because I
why wouldn't you like that?
Oh, I wouldn't not like it. I would hate that.
A lot of Chicago connection in there.
It'd be great. Tom Thibodeau trying to beat Jimmy Butler. That'd be great.
Steve Kerr.
He's got so many rings now.
There's a kid from Northwestern who might play more. Pat Spencer, I think his name is.
Yes, former lacrosse player.
Yeah, Northwestern.
Did he play lacrosse player?
You'll see him more now with no Curry.
What are you looking at?
I know I'm not. I don't know how many times I got to declare that I don't like the Knicks. I just don't like the cut of their jib. Don't like anything about them. I like Tibbs.
Well,
okay,
he is.
I like Jalen Brunson.
He does too.
That's it.
That's everything.
No, it ain't.
That's their heart and that's their soul. That ain't nothing.
That ain't nothing.
That ain't nothing.
I'd like them back in Chicago, both of them. But no.
To be continued, this playoff nonsense conversation. But I do think it's great
fun.
Drama.
It's good fun.
It's almost as good as the NHL playoffs.
Yeah,
almost.
I'm looking forward to watching.
All right, right now, if you want to win 2 tickets to see the Cubs play next Tuesday night, May 13th at Wrigley Field against the Marlins, be the 6th caller to the Scores contest line, 312. We got to get the right contest line here.
312-540-0670.
312-540-0670.
There you go.
And you can win a pair of tickets next Tuesday night. Cubs-Marlins, provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch. Bosch Power Tools. Be the 6th caller.
I believe it's Mark Rohde. Mark Rohde and Leila Rahimi. It's going to be one of the greatest.
Marshall Harris.
Oh, I'm sorry. Layla's not here. It's Marshall and Mark Rohde. just when you say those magic words, Mark Rohde, my heart sings. Be fun to talk to Mark.
Can't wait.
Mully and Haw on the score.